This morning, we are going together to tell one of the most well-known gospel stories, the story from the Gospel of Luke in the 10th chapter, beginning with the 25th verse, is the story of what we commonly call the Good Samaritan. So in order to tell this story, you've heard it many times, you've read it many times, and different versions, but I thought this morning we would act it out so that we can all see it. And perhaps you've been a part of this as well. But in order to do this, I need some help. So I'm hoping that maybe our youngest among us would be our helpers, but I will take helpers of any age. I need about 5 to 8 people. We could use a few more if necessary. Why don't you just come up? We'll start with the kids and then we'll see how we're doing. Are there kids who are interested? Ilya? Let's start with you guys and then we'll see if we need some helpers. So here's what we need. We need a person who is traveling. I'll tell you all the parts first so then you can decide. So we need a person who's traveling. We need some robbers or some bullies or not the nicest people. Anyone want to be a mean person this morning? No, see, you're all nice. Maybe we'll need the grown-ups for that part, right? We need a priest and a Levite, a religious man, a Samaritan, and an innkeeper. I think that was more than 5. So who would like to be the person traveling? Grace, you want to do that? You want to be the person traveling? That's okay. We can have 2 people traveling. Sure, that's fine. We don't have to tell the story exactly the way Jesus did. There's some parts we have to get right, but that would be perfect because it was very dangerous to travel all by yourself. That's part of what makes this story what it is, that it was a dangerous place to travel on this road that they were traveling on. So is there anyone that wants to be a robber, a bully, a gang? All right. Anyone want to be part of Nancy's gang?
Sure.
All right. They're going to be the kindest gang members possible this morning. It is always a tough story to act out because... All right. So we need a priest. How about this? So would you like to be the priest?
Yeah.
Okay. And Grace, would you be the Levite, the religious person? And would you be the Good Samaritan? All right. Or would you rather be the innkeeper? You're going to be the Good Samaritan. Okay. You want to be the innkeeper? Okay. So then I need one more person who's willing to be the Levite, the other religious person. Catherine, do you want to do that? Okay, great. All right, so let's start. Those are the people who are traveling. So Grace and James, why don't you go over that way towards the microphones? And actually, anyone who's traveling. So the priest, so Ophelia, you go over there too. And the Levite, Catherine, you can head over that way. And the Samaritan can go over that way. Where should the inn be when we're all done? Maybe over this way? And our gang can kind of hang out here. Anyone else want to be a part of the gang? Okay. So I'll read the story and I'll kind of guide us through. A lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you interpret it?" The man responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But the lawyer wanted to prove that he was right. So he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, and he begins the story. A man or a couple of travelers were traveling down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and they encountered thieves, robbers, a gang of bullies. Oh.
Give
And they made them laugh so hard that they fell down on the ground. The story says that the robbers beat them up until they were so hurt that they were lying on the ground. So can you lie down on the ground? Now I lost my place in this story. So then it happened that a priest was walking by. Ophelia, will you walk by? And Ophelia, the priest, sees them lying there, and she looks at them, and she shakes her head, and she keeps on walking. Then a Levite, a religious person, came by that same spot and saw the injured persons and crossed over on the other side of the road and went on her way. But now a Samaritan, who was also on a journey, came to the place where the travelers lay. And when she saw them, she was moved with compassion. The Samaritan went to them and bandaged their wounds and tended them with oil and medicine and placed them on a donkey. We don't have a donkey this morning. But helped them up gently and brought them to an inn. Where's the inn? Innkeeper, would you come down here a little more? The next day, the Samaritan took 2 days' worth of wages, 2 days' worth of your money, and gave it to the innkeeper and said, take care of them, and when I return, I will pay you for any additional costs. And so the innkeeper took care of the travelers. So what do you think? Which one of these was a neighbor to the one who had fallen in the ditch? And then the lawyer said, the one who demonstrated mercy, who showed kindness and acted with compassion towards him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Amen. Thank you all. So you're welcome to, whether you want to sit in the front pew or if you want to sit with your families, thank you for helping us to see the story in a new way. Good job. Thanks. So I'll ask the question again, as Jesus asked, who was the neighbor? Grace? The Good Samaritan. Why was the Good Samaritan the neighbor? Go ahead. Because he helped like God would help people. What was the word that I used? Because he showed mercy, compassion, kindness. So compassion. How did I get my remote out here? Hold on. Too many pockets. Jesus teaches us to love God, to love our neighbor, and to love ourselves. Our theme for the season of Lent is going to be that word, compassion. So what is compassion? Feelings. What did you guys heard you saying? Being kind? Anyone else? What is compassion? Empathy?
Love.
Passion is all those things and a little bit more. The word compassion, taken from the Latin, actually means with suffering. So to have compassion is to be with someone else in their pain and their suffering, like the Good Samaritan saw those who were hurt and suffering. So next question is, what is the golden rule? Go ahead, you can call it up. To treat others the way you want to be treated. Now, did you know that the golden rule we teach here in Sunday school, you've probably learned in many of the churches you've been involved in throughout your life, but the golden rule in some way is a part of every religious tradition around the world. It is the core of humanity, the core of how we treat each other. Even the animals that God created treat each other with compassion. Have you seen animals who care for each other? When an animal is hurt, they help each other. So compassion is a part of the core of who we are as people and as people of faith. I've been reading a book by Frank Rogers called Compassion and Practice, The Way of Jesus, and that will be our framework for this Lenten season. And this quote is taken from that. It's at the top of your bulletin if you want to save it for later. For Jesus, the essence of a pure heart is its compassion. A heart becomes pure when it is rooted in the heart of God, the cosmic heart in which we live and move and have our being. Indeed, a pure heart soaks up the compassion of God, beats in sync with God's own pulse, and bears more fully God's heart for the world. Jesus teaches us how to practice compassion. And Frank Rogers, in his book, describes compassion and how we can act with compassion with the acronym PULSE. All right, so friends, what's an acronym? No, not quite. So when we take a word and we take the first letter of each word and have a phrase to go next to it, right? So we're going to get there. Just do watch. So pulse. Where is our pulse? How do we find our pulse? Find it in our wrist. Mr. Deisenroth could help us do it exactly the right way. And others here, right? We can find our pulse in our neck. Where does our pulse come from? What is that that you feel? If you feel your pulse in your neck, what are you feeling?
Heart.
Your heart beating, right? So like our heart beats with the compassion of God, we check our pulse of our compassion. So the first thing we have to do is, someone want to read it out loud to me? Pay attention. To be compassionate, we have to see the needs of others without judgment. The Good Samaritan could have just walked on by like the other people walked on by, right? But the Good Samaritan was paying attention to the needs of others and saw those people not as a stranger or as an enemy, but as someone in need. So next, see the U for pulse. Understanding empathetically. It is a big word, isn't it, right? Compassion moves us to feel the pain or the joy of another person. The Good Samaritan understood the pain of the other because he too had been hurt and pained. Samaritans were people that weren't liked very much in Jesus' time. So the Samaritan knew what it was like for people to not love him and care for him and help him when he needed help. And so when he saw that man in the ditch, he felt compassion and felt a need to help. Loving with connection. So compassion offers a loving quality of presence without any criticism. The Good Samaritan in that story, he didn't ask any questions, did he? Did he say, what happened to you? Why are you in the ditch? What are you doing here on this dangerous road? He didn't ask any of those questions. What did he do? He just helped him. He didn't judge him. He just lovingly offered the care that he needed and brought him to the inn to someone who could care for him even more. S is for Sensing the sacredness. A couple other, what's sacred mean? We'll break that. Holy, right? So sensing the holiness in someone else. True acts of compassion and care are holy. There's grace that heals, and the presence of God is there. In the story of the Good Samaritan and in the many other stories of healing that we hear of Jesus and his life, God is present in the healing miracle. And these stories, and when we read them, and when we tell them, and we tell them again, it brings us closer to God. So in compassion, there is a sense of the sacred, the holy. God is there. E. Embodying new life. Compassion desires transformation, for things to change for the better. The Good Samaritan took the injured man to the inn so that he could have a better life. Jesus heals people so that they can be free to live a new and abundant life as God hopes for them. And finally, we've spelt the word pulse. You see it there? P-U-L-S-E. And finally, act. Act with healing, kindness, and care. Compassion is more than a feeling. It may begin as a feeling, but compassion requires action. The Good Samaritan would not have been compassionate if he had just looked down and felt sad and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry for him. I'll keep going." Compassion moved him to loving action. So the compassion of Jesus inspires us to act, to pray with our hands and with our feet, as well as with our hearts. Compassion is the heartbeat of our faith. So as you go out into this day, and into the week ahead, until the whole season of Lent, when we are asked to draw closer to God and to be closer to others with compassion, I remind you to pay attention, to be understanding, to make loving connections, to believe that God is present, desire change, and most importantly, act. Do acts of compassion and loving kindness as they have been done to you. Friends, we can love and act with compassion because Jesus first loved us and showed compassion to us. Amen. Thank you for your help. Thank you for reading and for answering and for sitting right up in front and listening. As we have been blessed with abundance and generosity from the hands of God, so we are called to return a portion of those blessings so that we as a church together can share God's compassion in the world.